Good morning, everybody. We're looking at the 33 things that happen when a person trusts in Jesus Christ. We've looked at 24 of them, and this one here is actually 25, is what it is. I had this one combined with Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing 2 weeks ago, but couldn't get through it, and so we're going to have to do it today. The one we're looking at today is that believers are light in the Lord. And what does that mean to be light in the Lord? We'll pray, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a look at this passage, all right? Father, we come in prayer, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We pray for our young people, Lord, and the leaders that are in Amarillo on our mission outreach. Just pray, God, that it would be a true time of fruit for them, that you would grant them victory in what they do. And direct them, Father, keep them safe, and watch over them, bring them back safely. But let them have a very fruitful and eventful time while they're there. And then, Lord, we pray also for the time right before us now as we look at your word. Pray, Father, that you'd open this word up to us, grant us insight, understanding. Direct me as I teach it, Father. Help me to rightly divide it and explain it clearly and accurately in a manner and a way it'd be pleasing to you. And Father, I ask this and I pray this in Christ Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. The passage I've chosen is the passage Monty read there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Paul says, right to the church at Ephesus, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, as he begins this passage, he uses a very little word there that gives us a lot of understanding, and that word is for. That word for ties back into what's been previously stated. And what's been previously stated is he's talking about their condition and what they were like before they came to know the Lord. But then he really narrows it down in 6 and 7. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." And he's warning these believers at Ephesus to not be partakers with those that are living in things such as verse 3, fornication and uncleanliness, covetousness. Let it not even be named among you. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, all that kind of stuff. He says, "For no fornicator," verse 5, "unclean person, covetous man, or one who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." He says, don't be like that. He says, "For you were once darkness." In other words, he speaks of their past relationship. Now, it's interesting, when you look at it, he doesn't say you were once in darkness. He says you were once darkness. You were darkness itself is what you were. It wasn't that you were just living in it. That was what you were. Your condition, your state of being was a condition or a state of being represented by darkness. Now, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what does it mean? The word darkness, what does that word mean? Well, a lot of people think darkness just simply means sin. And where he says walk in the light, that light means that which is good. But it's really more than that. The word darkness, as it's used here, and as Paul likes to use the word, represents evil, ignorance, and depravity. And there's a big emphasis upon ignorance. He uses the phrase, says, "You were." That's an emphatic statement. You were in darkness and you pursued sin. Now as a believer, sin pursues you. Completely different relationship now to sin. The word darkness, katos, means separation from God in a realm of sin and all that opposes God. Okay? What it is. Now, I wanted to look around And let's see what he means by this darkness, that man, before he comes to faith in Christ, his life is characterized by darkness. He's governed by darkness, that ignorance and evil and depravity controls his life. See, man that is in darkness is so deceived that he actually thinks he's in light. Man that is in darkness, you talk to most people that don't have a relationship with God, they got some very strong opinions about God and very, in their mindset, clear understandings about God. Where in most cases, their understanding about God and what they know about God is very distorted. It's very distorted. And a problem with a distorted view of God is that when your view of God is distorted, your view of life is going to be very frustrating. It's going to be very difficult to figure out. I see this a lot of times even with Christians, people that have a relationship with the Lord, but yet they don't develop, they don't cultivate that relationship. And when it comes to dealing with the basics of the Christian life or interacting with the world, their understanding of God is very confusing, very confusing. And it goes back to the old statement. If you start out with a wrong presupposition about God, meaning you have an understanding or an assumption about God that is not correct, then every one of your logical statements that comes after that is going to be flawed too, because you're beginning with wrong information. Okay? And that is a mark of ignorance. When I say man is ignorant, I don't mean he's stupid. I just mean that he does not understand God. Because according to Scripture, a man cannot by himself understand God. It is beyond his understanding. It is outside his realm of comprehension. It is an impossibility for man to understand God apart from what God reveals to man. Why? Why is that? Because God is holy, and God is righteous, and he's different than anything else in this world that we live in. And yet man tries to relate to God as if God is man. And so he's wrong from the very beginning. When the Bible says God is holy, what that means is God is outside of everything in the created order. Everything in the created order, meaning not just earth, but the universe, everything that surrounds it, and the heavenly realms are polluted with sin. That is a common result or a common influence over all the creation. So keep in mind the word common. The word holy means unique or different, other than. The word literally means cut. And what it means is, when God is holy, he is outside of everything that's affected by sin. So trying to figure out God within the realm that man lives in, his view or his understanding of God is going to be very confusing, because he tries to relate it to stuff he knows, either about himself, about other people, his idea of fairness, his idea of what is right and proper, and then he tries to take and lay that over on God, and he can't get it right. So when I say that man is ignorant, what I mean is we can't know anything about God but what God reveals about himself. The only thing true about God is what God reveals about himself and what man thinks about God that lines up with that revelation. Apart from that, everything else is wrong. Okay? Because you can only know God as he reveals himself, as he uncovers himself. You can't figure it out on your own. So when I say ignorance, what I mean is man does not understand God in and of himself. Let's look in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 4, and let's look at verse 17. Kind of follow this idea through. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. That's three times this morning we've read that word walk. We read it in 5:8, and now we're reading it twice in 4:17. The word walk means to order one's life. It means to live out your life is the idea. Okay? So my walk is my life. It's how I'm living my life. How I react to other people, how I react to circumstances in life, how I react with God. What I do is my walk. Okay? So he tells these Christians, he says, I testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And Gentiles are those that are lost, that are outside of God, in the futility of their mind. See, Gentiles walk, or lost people live their life in the futility of their mind. Now, the Bible doesn't have anything against the human mind. You've got to understand that. But an unredeemed human mind is controlled strictly by the flesh and by sin. When the Bible talks about mind, the Bible expects you to use your mind, okay? Because the Bible tells us to think on these things, to meditate on these things, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're to worship God with our heart and our mind, all our mind, okay? So the Bible doesn't have anything against mind, but when it says Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, it means a mind that is not governed by the revelation of God. A mind or a thought process or thought patterns that are independent from God, independent from His revelation. That's the futility of their mind. The futility of the mind is strictly human understanding or human perception of God, devoid of revelation from God. Having their understanding darkened, there's that word darkened again, being alienated from the life of God, look at this, because of the ignorance that is in them. There's the word ignorance used in relationship to darkness. Because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see that? He talks about people that are separated from God, living in a realm of darkness, being alienated from God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. In other words, man apart from God has no capacity to fathom God or understand God. And so he tells us back in Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, let's focus on that. What does that mean to be light in the Lord? Well, to be light in the Lord, the critical thing you need to understand is the last three words, in the Lord. It's talking about our position in Christ. Because of our position in Christ Jesus, we are light in the Lord. Man does not produce light. Man is not a source of light. Okay? Light comes from God, is where it comes from. And the light he's talking about is not this light here. He's talking about light in the sense of spiritual light. Okay? And we're going to look at light in just a minute, give you a better understanding of it. But this idea of being in the Lord speaks of our position. And as we've looked at 24, now 25 of the 33 things that occur when a person comes to faith in Christ, there's one thing we ought to be understanding by now. That is, when you come to faith in Christ, you are placed in Christ Jesus. You are placed in Him. You have a position in Him. And what that simply means is that when I come to faith in the Lord, when I came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He placed me in Jesus. Now see, the natural man, when he looks at having a relationship with God, he thinks about, well, I need to do something. I need to do good things. I need to, he may even throw in there, go to church, you know, at least on Easter. Probably Christmas wouldn't hurt. And then some special occasion. Say my prayers. Have a Bible around, things like that. But primarily, man thinks of, I need to do some good things. I need to do some good deeds. That's what he basically thinks of. That's how he basically relates. You talk to most people that don't know the Lord, and you ask them, how you get into heaven? I say, well, I'm a pretty good person, or I'm trying to be good, okay? You don't get there by trying, okay? But that's man's understanding. What happens is that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is perfect. So Jesus Christ dies on the cross, and when he dies on the cross, he bore my sin. So what happens is God takes my sin out and he puts into me, he imputes to me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So it's not that I do good, it's that Christ has done good and I get credited for his righteousness. And that's not fair at all, but that's the way God does it. Okay? I did nothing to deserve that. God gives that to me. When that happens, he places me in Christ Jesus and he seats me in the heavens with him. That is my position. That is my eternal relationship with God. My eternal relationship with God is I am in Christ. I am secure in him. That's my position. So when God looks at my position, I am in Christ. He does not see me. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he sees that I am perfectly righteous. And when he looks at me down here, he sees me in the same way. I'm in Christ, okay? But I have an exhortation down here. I need to live out down here what I am up there. My condition on earth needs to match up with my position in heaven. Let's just look. This pulpit right here is the cross. This is my life before Christ. This is darkness, okay? I'm living alienated from God. I'm living in sin. All I do is practice evil in my mind because everything that I do is apart from God. Now, that's a strange concept to an American mind, that man is evil or that man thinks about evil, okay? But that's in relationship to God, everything man does is evil. In relationship to other people, relative. You understand? Evil is determined in relationship with God. And in relationship with God, who is holy, everything within that creation is evil because of sin. People don't think like that. Most people think of evil from the man viewpoint or from the human viewpoint. And you say, well, people are basic, their basic nature is evil. Oh, you can't say that. I know people that are really good people and stuff. That's relative compared to the rest of the evil people out there, they're less evil. That's all you're saying. That's all you're saying. And some people would say they're even more evil because they masquerade it. They masquerade their evil behind good. There are people that do that. Okay? So when I talk about evil, I'm talking about in relationship with God. So on this side of the cross, it's darkness and it's evil. On this side of the cross, I've come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And I am to live out on this side of the cross what I am positionally in him. I'm to live, not like I did over here, but I'm to live like I am right there. And that is in a relationship with him. This is where I'm to walk. I'm to walk in the light of God. I'm to walk in relationship to my position. My position, my eternal life, all that, folks, is present tense right now. I have that. When I came to faith in Christ, I had eternal life. It's not that when I die, I'm going to have eternal life. I have God's eternal life right now within me. It is a present tense condition. I am in Christ Jesus, in the mind of God. It is a done, completed deal. Just time has to unfold in the process. That's the way it works with God. That's the difference between darkness and light. Over here, darkness. Over here, light. Okay? Now, understand this. When I'm over here as a believer, my condition, when I don't walk with the Lord, you know what I can do? I can go back over on this side and live just like I did before I came to faith. I can let my fleshly mind take over, let sin, which dwells in my physical body, rule me. And I will live over on this side of the cross. But in reality, I'm over here, and what I'm to do is I'm to live and walk as a child of light. is what God says. Now, let's look at what is light. What do we mean when we say light? All right, let's go to the book of John. Go to the book of John and go to chapter 1 of John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 3. All things were made through him, talking about the Lord. And without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Why? Because man in and of himself cannot understand God. That's what that passage is telling you right there. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist, not John that wrote the book. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. Now, let's just stop and think for a minute. What is light? Light is the revelation of God. Okay? Light is God being revealed. When Jesus came to the earth, Jesus revealed to us who God was. He gave us light, spiritual light, spiritual sight to see what God was truly like. Okay? He reveals God to us is what he does. Jesus is that light. He is the revelation of God. He reveals to us what God is truly like. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. That's all you have to do. Look at Jesus. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and look at verse 19. John 3 and 19. John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. See, the Bible doesn't hesitate to say what man's really like. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they've been done in God. I have a sermon I've used to preach on those three verses right there, and it's called Man is a Cockroach. That's the title of the message, Man is a Cockroach. Now, that's not a popular title. People don't like that title. But really, what's he describing there? He's describing a cockroach is what he's describing. What happens with a cockroach? I know you don't have cockroaches in your house, but whenever you get one, it gets in there, and you turn on the light, what do? Yeah, they don't just sit there, oh, light. Man, I'm glad you finally turned that on. They run. What do they run to? They run to any crack or crevice that's dark. That's what they go to. And they can find cracks and crevices you didn't know existed. They go right underneath a counter and go in through the drawers, they go anywhere they can to get out of the light. Look at your passage. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and look at verse 12. John 8 and 12. John 8 and 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, he says, I am the light of the world. I give revelation to the world that is in darkness. The world is right here. But through Jesus Christ, he says, I can bring them right here. And that means they can know God, they can know life, because the light is the life of men. You see that? God shows his light. So he takes men from darkness into the light. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Jesus hits on this little light motif a lot in Scripture. Well, let's back up. I want to begin in verse 44. Y'all get me there? There we go. Thank you, guys. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." There it is, right there. Jesus is the revelation of God. "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." See, Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus reveals how God truly is. Even Paul, when Paul was converted, go to Acts 26. Look at Acts 26 with me. At Paul's conversion, when he gets his commission from God, look what God says to him, verse 14. Paul's given his testimony here in Acts 26, 14. Acts 26, 14. "And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things I will yet reveal to you.'" Look at this. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light." There it is, from darkness to light. "And from the power of Satan to God." You see the parallel? The realm of darkness is the realm of the Satan and evil, depravity and ignorance. The realm of light is the realm of God and all that God is. "That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That's what light is. Light is the revelation of God. It is the revealing of God. He says, "Walk as children of light." Go back to Ephesians 5:8. He says, "Walk as children of light." So what does he mean when he says, "Walk as children of light"? What he's saying is, live your life out as what you are in your position. Let your condition in life be a reflection of your position in Christ. That's the idea. Let the two match up. Let the two marry is the idea. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a look at this passage real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 13. This gives you some practical insight on how to do it. He said, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that has been brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What does that mean, gird up the loins of your mind? Well, to gird something up in their day and time, they wore long robes, okay? You seen pictures of them? They wore these long robes that had a sash around the middle. To gird up meant they would reach down, they would grab the back of their robe, and they would pull it up between their legs, and they would tuck it in that belt. Grab it right here and pull it down. And what it would do is make a set of big old shorts is what it'd make. A lot like the shorts kids wear today, okay? I saw a guy wearing shorts the other day, and 4 inches he had long pants on, but they were shorts, okay? Wear these big old baggy shorts. Now, the idea behind those shorts is that allowed them to move freely. It would not impede their progress. So when he says, gird up the loins of your mind, he means get anything out of your mind that's going to impede your process with God. Get anything out of your mind that's going to cause you to stumble. Get anything out of your mind that's going to keep you from moving about freely. Gird up your mind, be sober, be clear-headed, think clearly, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, you've got to have a forward-looking life also. What does that mean, to rest your hope on the grace that is to be brought before you? What that means is this, folks, that when it's all over, you're going to win. It's the bottom line. The grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, when he is revealed at the end and you are with him, it's over with then. So what he's saying is, no matter what happens in this life, listen, no matter what happens in this life, you have already won the victory. You already possess victory in Christ Jesus. Think about that when you go through difficulties here. Rest your hope on that. See, too many people rest their hope on what's going here. You rest your hope on what's going here, you're going to be up and down because this world's fallen. Remember, this world's affected by evil. Rest your hope on him. Look to him. Look to Christ, because that's where the victory is. Rest your hope on that. So no matter what you face here, you can say, I've got it there. I'm going to win. This is temporary. That's eternal. This is evil. That's perfect. I can make it here because of what I got there. Rest your hope on it. Gird up your minds. Be sober. Rest your hope on the truth of how it's going to end as obedient children. Not conforming yourselves to your former lust as in your ignorance. There it is again. In other words, don't live your life over here. He says, live your life over here on this side. Live in the light, not in the darkness. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober-minded. Fix your hope on what you have and live your life over here as an obedient child. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now I want to look at another passage. Go back to Ephesians 5. Go back to Ephesians 5 and look at verse 13. We'll tie this thing together. Verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Now, what does that mean? Is that an appeal to some lost guy that he needs to arise and come to faith in Christ? No. He's talking about believers. He's saying, you believers that are living up there in 4:17, that are walking like the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. See, as a believer, I can go from the realm of light over to the realm of darkness. I can live like a lost person. I can live and let my flesh govern anything around me. I can be self-centered. I can be full of pride. I can deal with people in an evil manner. I can do all that kind of stuff. What's he say? Arise from the dead. In other words, don't dwell in the realm of darkness and dead, and Christ will give you light. In other words, when I move over here to live my life, then I have the revelation of God. I have God revealing to me what to do. See then that you walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Walk with precision. Walk with care. In other words, live your life rightly. Not as fools, that's on this side. A fool is independent of the revelation of God. A wise person lives in the revelation of God. Don't live as a fool, live as a wise person. Live under the revelation of God, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. There's that bad word again, evil. Redeeming the time, what does that mean? Folks, it means exactly this right here. When you're not purposing in your life to walk in a circumspect or careful manner, you're giving your life up to the influence of the world. He says, you don't have all the time in the world to live for the Lord. You need to get that back. You need to quit letting sin take up your time, take it back, and live it for the Lord. Don't live like you did over here. Live over here and purchase the time back. Get the time back and use it to live for God. That's what he's saying. Live your life for the Lord. Don't let that time fly by you. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is to live for the Lord. People make the will of God one of the most complicated things in the world. All you have to do the will of God, is live in the moral will of God. That's all you have to do. It is not complicated. You live your life filled with the Spirit in obedience to God. And what does God do? When you walk in the light, what's he going to do? He's going to give you light. That's all it is to it. He does not tell us anything else as far as what job we should have, who we should marry, where we should go, all this kind of stuff. God doesn't reveal that to us. You won't find that in the Bible. What you will find is the moral will of God. And so you can only walk in faith by what you have. And by walking in faith, I mean live your life in obedience to Him. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul. Love your neighbors, yourself. Live in the will of God, and then the rest of life, God places it before you. It's very simple. People make the will of God. That's one of the most asked questions I get. I need to find out what God's will is. I can tell you exactly what his will is. They said, really? I said, yeah. Just like a fortune teller. Not at all. Because I said, this is the will of God for your life, that you live a sanctified and holy life for God. The rest of it will take care of itself. Because it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. That's it. That's the will of God. You live in obedience to God and love God, and what he does is he puts into your heart the things you should desire. That's what he does. Very simply, he lays it upon you. And that's what he's saying. Christians, wake up. One last passage, and we'll close with this one. Go to Matthew 5. Hang in there. Matthew 5, 13. One last passage. Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is in good for nothing, but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Whoa, stop, hang on. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. But he says, you are the light of the world. How am I the light of the world? How are you the light of the world? You are the light of the world when you live on this side right here, and you live out who you are in Christ. What you become is a revelation of God to the world around you. You and my evil, sinful people become lights just like Christ was a light. That's why he says you are his ambassador is what you are. You are sent here for a purpose. He says, therefore, glorify God in your body. See, your purpose in life is not to wait till you die so you can go to heaven. It's to get going with God right now so you can reveal his presence to the world around you. That's the problem with the church today. The problem with the church in America is People don't want to live out what they have where they are. God calls us to be His light wherever we may be. At your job, at your school, at your college, in your neighborhood, in your home, in the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever you may be. You are to consistently, I am consistently, live out who I am in Christ so the world around me can get a picture of what God is like. See, when troubles happen and the problems of this world affect the believer and the unbeliever, all the problems we're affected by in our society, lost people are dealing with that just like God's people are. God's people are not immune from tragedy. God says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Tribulation produces patience. Christ does not deliver you from that. Christ will put you in it. And He will put you in it so that the world can see, how does God's child deal with what I'm dealing with? And most of the world sees God's children dealing with it over here, in the same way they're dealing with it. And they say, what difference does it make? Why does it matter? Because they respond to life the same way I respond to life. What God wants us to do is respond to life over here, to be the faith walker, to be the light bearer, to be the one that shines so that those around us can see God. Look at the passage. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those around them. Here's the key punchline right here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not their Father, but your Father in heaven. You are God's representative here on earth for the world to see what God's like. Just like the Bible is my revelation of God. It's what I understand about God. Most lost people are not going to pick that up. You know what they can pick up on? They can pick up on what's real. And when they look at you and they look at me, they'll pick up what's real. And they'll say, look at them, man. How can they go through that and be so happy? When I was a lost man, the thing that really got me more than anything was when I saw how Christians could deal with stuff in life and it didn't seem to bother them. And I saw him, I thought, how can that guy be that happy? How can he be happy going through what he's going through? How can he have that joy? How can he be like that all the time? How is that? That caused me more than anything to want to know, what does he have that I don't have? There's something different about that person. You know why? Because he was being God's light in the world. He was reflecting what God was truly like. Folks, that is a powerful witness. Because this world today needs to see, how do God's children deal with difficulties? And when they do, it opens their eyes to the realness of it. It opens their eyes to what's really going on. You have a relationship with Christ. He took you from here and He put you here. And He says, now walk as a child of the light. Why? Because you are the light of the world. What kind of light are you shining? Ask yourself this morning, what are you doing to shine your light? How are you living out your life around those around you? Are you intimidated? Are you worried about what they're going to say or what they're going to think? Jesus said, hey, when they persecute you, rejoice, because they did the same thing to me. When they say all kinds of evil about you for my name's sake, don't let it bother you. Great is your reward in heaven. You're just stacking up more trophies. You're racking it up. So he said, go after it. Get after it. That's the idea, folks. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Because you're light in the Lord, walk it. Live it day by day. That's what God wants to see. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would be the light you've called us to be. You are the light of the world. And then you turn right around and you tell your children, we are the light of the world. Father, help us to reveal you to the world around us. Father, that's my prayer, is that we would do that in a consistent manner. In Christ's name we pray, Lord. Amen.